Jesus didn't have a problem with people that's in the streets. He had a problem with religious people.
How can I help anybody when I'm not even, when I was not even able to help my own son?
I would never do that. I would never do that. And I became that in a matter of minutes when they took my pain pills away.
And I said, I'm not where I want to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be.
This is Faith in Your Recovery. I am Randy Davis. Welcome to the battle. Randy Davis here with this episode of Faith in Your Recovery. We're glad you've tuned in. We know you're going to be able to glean something from this that you didn't turn us on expecting to hear, that it's going to give you another tool for your box, or at least a little advice and encouragement for your heart. So make sure you contact your friends, like, subscribe. We'd love the support, love the energy that builds up. And we're looking forward to this privilege and opportunity, and we'll do our best to reward your time. Our guest today, a friend just recently met, Jackie. Welcome, Jackie.
Hello.
Hey, good to have you with us. Jackie, tell the folks where you're from.
I'm from Geneva, Indiana.
Geneva, Indiana. That's Adams County. Yeah?
Yes, it is.
All right. I'm from Red Key, Indiana. That's about 20-ish miles from us there. Our son worked there at the Red Gold Factory for a couple years while he was in college.
Okay.
It was a great experience for him. Loved the Geneva Burn area, the Amish influence. It just, we love to go up there and drive when we get the opportunity. But that's not why you're here. You're here to tell us your story.
Right.
We're excited about hearing it. Jackie, before I begin questioning and give it over to you, I heard something on the radio or another podcast, not sure where it was, but it's the idea you're here for a reason today. And for you to be spared this long after all that you've been through, for your willingness to be able to share, God's got a plan for this, and He wants to use it. You and I both have lost friends to alcohol, to drugs, mental health challenges,
right,
conditions, and issues. But for you to survive it, that tells me God had a plan. It says that in Jeremiah 29:11, a plan to build us up, not to tear us down. And here we are. So let's go ahead. Go back in your mind and heart and tell us your story from the beginning. What was your childhood like? And then let's move on into that time, I believe, in the early 90s when alcohol became the monster of your life.
Right. It seemed like growing up there was a party every weekend. When I was a kid, I had aunts and uncles who drank, so I was always around it, and I thought it was normal.
Of course.
Yeah.
So is that what made it easier for you? How did you personally get started? Was it just sneaking a drink after the party, etc.? Tell us.
During the parties, yeah, I would definitely sneak drinks.
And I'm going to guess that those aunts and uncles and others probably encouraged that at times. We oftentimes think it's cute, but then we can end up paying a pretty heavy price for it. Is that kind of the way it played out for you?
Right, because before I was even legal to drink, I had a problem.
Okay. How old were you at that time, Jackie, when you first started?
I was probably 14 or 15 when I started.
Your early teens.
Yes.
Yeah, young lady there. Okay. Okay. So when was it that you felt like you were losing control and the alcohol was taking over?
I was probably in my late 20s.
Okay. So you had, we're looking at the better part of what? 15 years of drinking there,
yeah.
And then it became that monster that I just mentioned that was taking charge of your life. What'd that feel like? What was the experience like to start to recognize, I've got a problem?
I couldn't function. I couldn't hold down a full-time job.
How many jobs would you say you went through?
More than I got fingers and toes to count.
So obviously several.
Yeah.
Can you recall what you might say one of your favorites was? One of those favorite jobs?
Working as a first responder.
Ah, yeah, yeah. And you were probably dealing with some people that were much like yourself in the sense of the struggle with drugs or alcohol.
Oh, yes? For sure.
Yeah, yeah. What did that speak to you? What did that say to you?
It made me feel guilty.
Go ahead and explain that feeling of guilt a little bit.
I was pretending to be somebody I wasn't. Uh-huh. I was somebody on the outside, but on the inside, I was this different person. I was a drunk. But here on the outside, I'm going out here pretending like it's not even happening.
So you had to maintain that professional facade, and yet on the inside, you knew that you were just longing for the next drink. Don't
right.
let me put words in your mouth. I don't want to do that. But if I'm accurate, let me know. And if I'm not, correct me, because I don't want to share anything that would not be the honest truth
nope,
here.
You're right on.
Okay, good deal, good deal. So when was it, how was it that you first came to recognize, I've got a big problem here? I've got to deal with this. What did that experience look like?
It was in August of 22. I was just tired of being tired.
How old were you at that time, Jackie? Okay,
I was probably 45.
Okay. Okay.
I think I was 45 at the time.
Okay. So I've heard the phrase over and over, sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Mm-hmm.
What was it that moved you? What was the lights on moment that said, I can do this? I can beat this?
When I went to my doctor and spilled the beans.
Now, is this general practitioner type doctor?
Yes.
Okay. So what, you just confessed to the doctor?
I said, I'm an alcoholic and I don't know what to do.
Okay.
I need help. Can you help me?
And the doctor's advice was?
We got to get you sober 14 days, and we can put you on a shot called Vivitrol.
Had you been sober for 14 days prior to that in a number of years?
No, never.
So that had to sound like a pretty monumental task.
It did. It seemed like forever. I thought it was the impossible.
The old story, one day at a time, yeah?
Yep.
So once you got that 14 days in of being sober, did they indeed put you on the Vivitrol shot?
She did.
Go ahead and explain to folks who may not know what Vivitrol's about. But before you do, draw me back to that. We have a question from one of our listeners. Eric, will you share that question with us?
Yeah, this question is from Julia. Hey, Jackie, what are you going to do to face the challenges of recovery?
One day at a time.
Has that been your mantra since moving toward recovery, just to take it by the day?
Yes. I never focus on what's tomorrow. I always just worry about getting through the day.
You have no tomorrow if you don't get through today. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. So thank you for that question, Julie. Anybody else out there have one? Let us know. We'll address it to the best of our abilities. Now let's go back to that lights on moment, that time where you thought, you know, I can beat this. Tell us about that.
Oh, boy. When I can beat this. Well, getting sober the 14 days, that was a huge milestone.
That had to prove a bunch to you about your resolve and your abilities.
And it made me super excited about recovery. I'm like, I have hope now. There's hope.
14 Days to Hope. Sounds like a title to a book to me, all right? Go ahead with it, please.
And then next thing I know, I'm sober 30 days, then 60 days. And then I kind of slipped a little bit. I had a couple of those along the way. But here I am today at 381 days.
Congratulations, 381.
Yes.
All right. Now, is that since the slip or from the very beginning of those 14 days?
I started over after I slipped.
Okay. Okay. There are some who do, some who don't. And I get it both ways. You know, if you lose, you go on a diet, you lose 30 pounds. If you gain back 10, you still gain 20. You're still, you know, you're still working hard, working strong, and relapse or the chance to go to a party or whatever the case may be. The important things to pick yourself up, dust yourself off, get some help, and move forward again. And obviously you've done that to get to those 381 days.
Yeah, I've had to be aware of my surroundings, people, places, things.
What a key.
Yeah, there's certain places I don't go, certain people I can't be around.
There are those triggers, through all three of those things and so much more. So, you know what? We've got another question already. Let's go ahead and address that. Eric, will you give us that question?
Yeah, sorry. This is from Julia again. In recovery, sometimes we have family who use. If you have family who uses, how would you handle that situation?
That's very hard for me because I'm not able to be around them.
Now, what do you mean by that?
At this point, I don't associate with them.
Why?
I mean, I talk to them on the phone, but I don't go and visit in person.
Oh, physically, okay.
Right.
You can't, I'm going to say, afford to be around them because it jeopardizes your sobriety.
Right.
Okay. Through all of this, I'm sure you broke down trust from your family, trust from your friends. You talked about having so many jobs that you lost. There's, you know, elements outside your immediate circle that you let down.
Mm-hmm.
I read in your brief bio you sent us, you've been able to make amends with a lot of people. Tell us about some of those amends, how you've gone about that, and give somebody out there advice that may be dealing with something very similar.
I had to humble myself, and I had to go to these people and say, look, I've wronged you. I'm sorry. I've lied to you. I've stole from you. What can I do to make it right?
What's been the general response?
Some have been hesitant, and then some have been very receptive to it.
I can understand both. Do you?
Yeah, I do.
You're okay with that?
And I'm okay because some people, you know, they still don't want to make amends, and I'm okay with that.
That's not your job, is it?
No.
The honest effort is your job. The response belongs to them. Whether forgiven or not, when you seek it, you've done all you can do at that point. And so you move forward. So those 381 days, tell me two or three things you have learned about Jackie during that time that you didn't know.
I can be empathetic towards others.
Those who are battling the battle much right. as you did.
Right.
Okay. What else?
I've become more open-minded.
Help us with that. What do you mean by that?
I'm not quick to judge people.
Boom. That's big. What else?
I have a lot of feelings I've discovered. I'm more emotional. I don't just cover, you know, I can't cover up feelings anymore with the bottle. So I've got to feel the raw emotions and get through them.
We talk about here on Faith in Your Recovery, being raw, being real, being transparent. You just touched on number one there. You know, the rawness that it brings about in you, the idea of just having to look inside yourself and recognize, I had a struggle, I can easily get back in that, or I can stay above it. You've chosen to stay above it for 381 days. That's not a lifetime, but you know what? You can't get to 2 years if you don't get to 1 year.
Right.
You can't get to 3 years if you don't get to two. It's got to start somewhere and go and grow from there, and you're accomplishing that. What is the best advice you could give to someone who is just starting on the path to recovery after dealing with alcoholism for 10, 15 years?
Let your faith be stronger than your fears.
What's your faith mean to you, Jackie? Tell us about it.
Oh, it means everything. I have found such a friend in Jesus.
What does Jesus, how do you describe him as your friend? What have you found in him that sustains you and keeps you wanting to be in a relationship with him?
Forgiveness.
Forgiveness. Wow. Yeah.
I've forgiven myself. Others have forgiven me.
That's genuine. Forgiveness. And I think we've all got to come, whether we have alcohol in our background or possibly anything else, be it drugs, be it lying, be it, you know, not truly being us. We've got to forgive ourselves before we can expect others to forgive us. And that's a hard hill to climb, because that means we've got to take the blame. We've got to be accountable. Listen, we've got another question already. I love that. Eric, hit us with that question, please.
Yeah, this is from Sean Harris. What has been the biggest positive change in your life since you got sober? And then Sean also wanted to say, go Cubs.
This about makes me cry, but regaining a relationship back with my niece and nephew.
How old are they?
12 and 16.
Okay. I'm going to guess came to a point during your drinking that you had to separate. They needed to separate from you for
right.
their own, you know, health and mental health and everything. And now you're able to be family again, yeah?
Yeah.
Awesome.
I can go to their school functions now. It's great.
That's great. And we'll forgive you for the Cubs, all right? Be at the top of your list. Another question, Eric.
Yes, I'm Julie again. Now that you're seeing the beauty on the other side of addiction, what do you see in your future?
Good question. Thank you, Julie.
Maybe to come employed one day again and hold that job.
That would be a major step, wouldn't it?
It would.
What would you like to see yourself doing 5 years from now, professionally?
Back in first response.
That much had a special place in you.
It did.
And I'm sure now it would carry even a greater importance, because it would be honestly you doing the work, guilt-free, just trying to help people out in a moment of need, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Where do you see yourself with family down the road? I know you've said that you've wronged a lot of people, you've burned a lot of bridges, you've caused a lot of relational damage.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you were able to put it together with, did you say niece and nephew? Or?
Yeah, my niece and nephew.
Okay. Where do you see yourself getting with the rest of your family? Or maybe you've reached that limit. I don't know, but
I'm still making amends.
Still making amends.
Mm-hmm.
And 381 days is great. Do not misunderstand me. But I'm sure there are those going, well, I want to wait another 30 days and see if you're still sober. See if you're still at the top of your game. That trust issue, once it's broken, whether it's in a relational way, a professional way, it's not easy to build it back up. I always use the example, it's 18 steps to the top of a 20-foot step ladder. You can be down in one step.
Yeah.
And that's what they're looking for, is that fall, that failure. But daily, you're causing them to question their own motives and own thinking. Even if it was totally 100% justified, they've got to start to believe sooner or later, or they're doing damage to themselves. So you just got to stay at it and stay on it and see what you can do to make that happen.
Yeah, my next goal is 18 months.
18 months.
I would love to see it.
So you're a 381, 365. You've got about 5.5 months to get there, yeah? Mm-hmm.
One day at a time.
One day at a time. And you've seen it can be done.
Mm-hmm.
I know as a part of A Better Life, Brianna's Hope, we give out tags for clean time or sobriety time. Tags for, you know, a week, 15 days, 2 weeks, and it keeps going on in increments up to 3 years. And some of our groups have more than that. But I've always, early on, I ask our people the question, which tag is the hardest to get? People will say 30 days. People will say a year, 2 years, 3 years, whatever. But the answer they finally agreed on was the next tag. If you're 30 days clean, 45, another 15 days is forever, like you said earlier concerning your first 14. If you've got 6 months, a 9 month tag seems like a lifetime. But through that process of one day at a time, and if you can't do that, break it up into halves or fourths or 24 hours. Get through the next moment and then dream about what can be ahead. Yeah. So what's one of the most important things you've learned, not necessarily about yourself, but about life through your recovery process?
Honesty.
Honesty. Tell us what that means to you in this situation, circumstance.
Even when I'm wrong, admit it.
That's not fun, you
no,
know?
No, it's not.
Sometimes we want to be wrong and let them think we're right, and we know in our own hearts, minds, and spirits that's not the case, but we're fooling ourselves when we do that. Nah, we're not even fooling ourselves because we know better. We just feel superior by winning the battle in that moment with others. That's big stuff to be able to do that. Let's go back to your faith journey here, okay? What is it that's kept you on this faith journey? What is it that's kept you moving in your relationship with Christ, in forgiveness? I know you mentioned that as a high point quality in all of this. Talk to us about that.
Well, I have a big bonus family.
Explain bonus family. I know you have your sweatshirt on, but I know most of our listeners don't understand the bonus family theory, and I just love it. Share
my chapter of Brianna's Hope that I attend, we refer to ourselves as a bonus family.
Why is that? What's bonus family mean?
I think accountability.
Along with that, it's the idea that we're born into a family. We have our relatives, our cousins, our moms, dads, aunts, uncles, whatever. But when you come to a meeting of A Better Life, Brianna's Hope, this is suddenly folks who aren't of your blood, but become your family. It's together you work through recovery. recovery. And that's an awesome thing that the Burn chapters labeled themselves with, and that's a big part of who they are. So that's a neat thing. Guess what? We've got another question. Let's hear it, Eric.
What do you do to strengthen your recovery today, this week, and this month?
I stay plugged in with my recovery community.
What's that mean to you?
Daily. Talking to them with them daily. Letting them know where I'm at. Being open and honest. Saying, hey, I'm not feeling too strong today. You know, can you help me?
And you've got a weekly chapter meeting that you attend?
I do. I've got two meetings I attend a week.
Okay. What are those two meetings? Just curious.
Yeah, Brianna's Hope on Thursday nights, and then on Tuesday nights I go to Celebrate Recovery.
Great. Where is that?
Celebrate Recovery is in Bern.
Good deal. So both your meetings are there in Bern. So it sounds like you would have a wide community of recognition of those who see you, know you, watch out for you. I encourage the idea of a couple of different kinds of recovery meetings. At one, you can get A, B, and C. At the other, D, E, and F. And I don't see one as better. Sometimes one just fits you better, and that's a neat thing. But the idea is you're involved, and that's what you've got to do is stay involved, right?
Yes.
It's back. You've said it over and over. I've said it several times. It's back to that one day at a time. You go to a meeting one night. You go to a meeting the next night or two nights away or whatever will whatever will work with your schedule and everything going on in your own life. What do you want people to know about the difference in getting to recovery? You've got like 381 days being at 1 year of recovery versus any year back where you were struggling with your alcohol.
I would never want to go back.
I've never heard anybody say they wanted to go back. What are the disciplines other than meetings, accountability? What are the disciplines of staying above that struggle?
Like I said, I got to be aware of people, places, and things. I've always got to be on my toes. Recognize trigger warnings.
How do you personally, and I'm not saying everybody's going to do it this way, how do you recognize triggers? What is it that tells you, this isn't a good place, it's not a good time, it's not somebody I should be around? What is it within you that, you know, that rings the bell?
Oh, my gut always tells me.
And during that, you can recognize and see that you've got to get out of there, get away from that moment. True?
Right. Like, yeah. If somebody invites me to a party, I always size up the scene before I go.
Yep. Yeah. That all makes sense. That's all an important part. So what is your next move in your recovery? Can you tell us that, Jackie?
Yeah, I do want to gain some type of employment. I think that would be helpful.
That could mean a lot of different positive things. It certainly helps you build your pride, knowing I can do this, whatever that job would be. Whether it's, you know, helping somebody with their groceries at the store, or you get back into health care of some type, any of that can help you build that up. It gives you value. It gives you self-worth. It gives you, I've risen to this moment in my life kind of thing. We've got a comment, not a question, but a comment. Eric, let's hear what it is.
Yeah, we wanted to give a shout out to a guy named Will Deeds, who says, greetings from Guatemala.
Will Deeds connected with us last week, which was awesome. And did you hear where he's from? He's from Guatemala. Now, that's not the next county, folks, or even the next nation, okay? But thank you, Will. We're glad you've tuned in again. We'll have to make a connection, hear your story sometime. Get a hold of us through the internet at ablbh.org, and we'll see about doing a remote with you if you have any interest, because you're showing the kind of being the kind of listener we're hoping that we're touching and making a difference in their lives. Thank you. Good to hear from you again. Keep in the game. Stay in the battle. So, what else is there, Jackie, that we haven't touched on that maybe you'd like to express, say, or share?
You know, it's funny. I didn't want nothing to do with Brianna's Hope when I first got into recovery. And I...
Why?
I didn't want to put a label on myself.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay. So it wasn't anything necessarily about a better life, Brianna's Hope. It was still a little of the denial process, maybe.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So what turned you on to a better life, Brianna's Hope?
Well, I went the first night. My plan was just to go there and eat their food and then dip out before the meeting.
You wouldn't be the first, and we welcome that, because we had you for 20, 30 minutes anyway.
And a lady had spoke that night when I decided to stay for the meeting, and she was just like me. Similar story. I felt like she was talking directly at me.
Love those moments.
And I was hooked. I thought, I got to come back.
You knew we could relate. Yes, that chapter could at that moment anyway. You knew you could find a home there that you could fit in because there were others just like you.
Yeah, and I was never judged.
That's the key, and I hope that's what everybody can say who attends an ABLBH meeting. As I read in your notes there, it was the doctor who suggested that you attend an ABLBH meeting. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Wow.
You know, family doctor.
Yeah, as I told you, I don't think I've ever heard that direct statement, that the doctor is the one who kind of gave you an unofficial prescription to attend a meeting, but that's awesome, and we're thankful for that in so many ways. What is it about a better life, Brianna's Hope, that keeps coming back from week to week?
The accountability. And I'm accepted for who I am and where I am on my journey.
You know what? You have given those answers in ways that I just go, yeah, I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad we're getting that point across. And I'm sure it's not only to you, but I hope, pray, it's everybody's got that same feeling, that we allow them that freedom of expression, that freedom to be themselves in our effort to draw them closer to Christ, to bring them closer to recovery. We want to do that. We can't make it a comfortable journey. You didn't get into it in a comfortable way. You're not going to get out of it in a comfortable way. There's going to be challenges. But you still have another breath, as I said there in the beginning. God still has you here for a reason, and if he does find that recovery, tune into that reason from him. Be sensitive to it. Follow it. I can guarantee you, you will not be disappointed in your future life. So, yeah. Is there anything else you want to share or say?
Nope. I'll just go with this. You know, let your faith be stronger than your fears.
That's a great statement. Your faith stronger than your fears. So that's good. We appreciate you coming here and joining with us for this. We appreciate you folks out there, our listeners, all the calls and the comments. And Will, there in Guatemala, it's so awesome to hear from you again. And we just pray that you folks out there, we're all in a battle of some type. When I say stay in the battle, I don't mean get comfortable in it. I mean stay in the battle in a way you're the opposite of comfort. You're fighting to get out of that darkness, to get out of that hole, to get out of that addiction, to get out of that habit, and to become the you that God has created you to be. That's our goal. That's my personal goal. It has been throughout my ministry, the role of support, the role of being there to help make a difference. We hope you'll tune in again with us next week. We appreciate all your questions and comments. God bless you all. Stay in the battle. Hang in there. Hold on. Amen. And God bless.